Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Deontay Burton, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Hamadou Diallo.
Hey, I'm Danilo Gallinari.
I'm Chris Paul, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
What's Dort?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know what that was.
In English, bro.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm Steven Adams.
I'm Andre Robinson, and I'm down to dunk.
Yeah. On you.
Good morning and welcome to episode 917 of Down to Dunk. You can find us on The Athletic and anywhere else you subscribe to your podcast. Go to theathletic.com/down to dunk and get The Athletic for $1 a month. I am Luke, joined this morning by Andrew.
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today. It's pretty cool, pretty damn cool. Woo!
Slam through. Oh, also, you can only get The Athletic for $1 a month today. This is the last day.
This is the last day.
Do it already.
You better go do it.
And Taylor.
Man, so yesterday, me and the boys at the shop, we were talking about ceremonial ayahuasca. Ayahuasca, you ayahuasca, we ayahuasca, she ayahuasca, he ayahuasca. Slam through.
And Jay.
It's Jay. I have no idea what that is.
That's actually based on a true story.
I don't know what that is. What do you say?
I know.
It's too inside.
No, it's. I know, but that's what makes it daddy, I thought.
No.
You're new at this dad thing, man.
Like,
okay.
Do dads, I feel like dads maybe come up with jokes.
They come up with jokes that everybody understands, that kids will laugh at.
Well, if you were a part of the conversation, I think it would have been a dad joke, right? Like if we were talking about ceremonial ayahuasca,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ayahuasca?
Dad, yeah. What is that?
Well, that's maybe the problem. It's a psychedelic tea.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely not dad.
Hey guys, follow us.
Yeah, that's like no dad has ever said that.
Hey, follow us on Instagram. Hey, you know what that was? Spooky. Our podcast today is haunted.
Ayahuasca, you ayahuasca, we ayahuasca.
But we have an Instagram now. Follow us.
No.
What?
I'm talking about Taylor. Yeah, follow us.
Yes, follow us. We went live on Instagram. It was a test. We're gonna try doing that more.
Yeah. It'd be great.
Just pop in for a little. We're gonna call them mini dunks.
Oh wow, Luke is on there right now in his costume.
Yep. I know.
Check it out.
Yeah, you need to check that out.
It's Halloween. We all were told to dress up. Only I did. So happy Halloween from me and me only.
This is true. So the 76ers hired Daryl Morey.
That's fun.
It's very exciting for
old gap year Morey.
For 76ers fans. Jay, what's your reaction, your response?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I think I sent this in the text yesterday. It's like the ultimate ownership isn't confident in Elton Brand, so let's hire somebody to help him make decisions because we don't want to fire him kind of thing is what it feels like to me. I get it. Daryl Morey is... So let me back up a little bit. I think this is how odd my brain is. And so I just confess that to start. But I think one of the issues I have with Daryl Morey is that I feel like you either have to be a Sam Prestyman or you have to be a Daryl Moreyman. Like, I feel like that trade in 2013 or whatever changed the landscape of the NBA forever. And I think people pick sides. And so for me, it's like I just can't be a Daryl Morey guy.
Do people have to pick sides with executives?
I don't know. This is what I said. This is how odd my brain is. It's like, if you celebrate Daryl Morey, then somehow in my mind, you're lessening Sam Presti. I know it's not like that, but that's how it is in my mind. So I hate Daryl Morey. I don't like him. I don't think he's good. Yeah. I don't want him to be successful, because that means in my mind that Sam Presti would be lessened. That's how weird I am. But one of the things I'll say about that for me is I don't know. I think it just brings up a ton of questions for the Philadelphia 76ers. I think that's where everybody immediately goes, and listen to a lot of the Tim McMahon stuff yesterday. And hearing him talk about it, nobody has any sort of real idea of how much decision-making power Daryl Morey is going to have, but he is going to have a ton of influence. And that does bring up the question, what Ben Simmons looks like. What is he going to do? Where does he land? How does he fit in the Daryl Morey scheme? But the thing I think Tim McMahon kept saying that I agree with is it's not as much about scheme for Daryl Morey as much as he utilizes analytics to try to create the best roster he can around his superstars. So I think that's the thing that if I was a Sixers fan, I'd be a little bit excited about. Plus, I mean, I'll be honest, like looking at Elton Brand's history so far in the last 3 years, I'd be really excited to have somebody that does help him kind of make decisions like, hey, don't sign Tobias Harris to the longest, biggest contract that you can.
Yeah, Daryl would not have done that.
This Halloween, step inside the sick, twisted mind of Jay Smith.
Oh, God.
But it is. That's how weird I am. As it does. I don't know. I've always felt like those two.
I get that. When it's like it's a rival, it's like if you praise him, it's like you're talking bad about our guy. I do get that.
Thank you, Luke. I'm not crazy. I know there's other people, especially in our fan crew. I know there's a lot of people that feel that way.
Are they contradicting philosophies, though, between Presti?
No, I wouldn't say that.
I would say that Presti is more of like a culture guy.
Yeah.
Where Morey is just pure numbers. This is what the numbers say. This is the superstar I can get. Let's just go get him. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And Presti and even like Masai Ujiri are more concerned about culture of the team and like are weirdly obsessive about culture.
Yeah.
Where Morey's really not.
Yeah, which is the only way Morey can be successful is to play in markets that can draw without culture.
Wow.
That's the thing about
Oklahoma City. That's the thing.
Dude.
Huge diss.
I'm saying like you couldn't be in, I don't know, I mean, Oklahoma City is the prime example, but other smaller markets and just be like, hey, I just throw away players because it doesn't matter. No free agent's going to come choose to play there.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Paul chose to play in Houston.
What are you doing?
He's dissing, dude. He's firing at Morey. Damn, bro.
And maybe he would change. Like, maybe that would change if he was somewhere else. Like, I could see that. But he started in Boston, went to Houston. Now he's in Philadelphia. Like, those are three cities that can still draw people.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It helps.
Let's name the teams he would not be successful at. Okay.
Memphis.
Memphis. Oh, he'd destroy Memphis. It'd be nothing like
Utah, probably.
Utah, get out of here, Utah. I'm Morey.
What is going on here?
I don't know.
But yeah, I think it's a great thing for the Sixers. Because they really just need somebody to reform their roster.
Yep.
And there's probably nobody better to do that than Daryl Morey in the NBA.
We do have some Twitter questions about the Morey thing, so I feel like it'd be good to jump to those. One's from @TylerBeats1, who says, so how do you see the most analytical GM, Daryl Morey, get along with a coach who historically hasn't listened to analytics and Doc Rivers?
Yeah, they've worked together before in Boston, so there's already like a relationship there. So I wouldn't be too worried about it. I think that they'll figure it out. I mean, they have to figure it out. They have to be able to work together for it to be successful. And this, to me, they're far enough along in their careers where they're going to try to figure it out rather than like butt heads and not work together.
Friggin' butt heads.
You guys see that right now, full moon. That's why this is super spooky this morning.
Oh my God.
The second question from @Pepsi United.
Moon energy.
He says this, what is your best Chris Paul trade? Which I want to pause before we answer that. But I think it's one of those things. Like this does make, and even Tim Bontemps says it or said it. So it's not just something that's originating from Thunder World, but it does make a Chris Paul connection to Philadelphia seem like a higher likelihood.
Yeah.
So what would you see best case scenario, Oklahoma City has New York, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, all three vying for Chris Paul. Then you utilize each one of them to get the best package from one of the teams. So for Philadelphia, I think at least one first round pick, but some sort of like, I don't think Morey would want to get rid of Matisse Thybulle. I think he would value that type of player too much. Yeah. But what would you expect out of Philly at minimum for a Chris Paul trade?
I mean, I think it first starts with don't give us Tobias Harris, please.
No, we'll take Al Horford to make the money work.
Horford, Mike Scott, that gets you there cash-wise. And then, I mean, if you're not going to get Matisse, then you need to just take back Zaire just because. Because I don't think that you can get Shake Milton. Shake Milton's really, like, strangely important to them. And so I think that you ask for Zaire Smith. And then, I mean, I think that Thunder fans would like to have our 2020 pick back just because it used to belong to us. But I don't care too much for that pick. So I would ask for 2021 unprotected from the Sixers and then the Knicks second round pick in 2021.
I like that. You're just such a, it's hard, man. I will just admit the fact that like for you is it's, you're always a future pick guy because that's the, in the potential good, the more unknown quantity.
Yeah.
Versus, like the 20th pick now, like I can put you a collection of five guys that could land at 20, right? And you know it's 20 versus next year. Like if the Sixers hit and Chris Paul does come and Ben Simmons and Joel, they could be like it could be a 27th pick. It could be a 28th pick. Like you really don't know what that's going to look like if that were to happen. So that's the unknown part of it that makes me – I'm such a – that's one of the hardest things whenever like you and Alex are creating these trades or people send them in. It's like – a future unknown for what you can know for certain today is really hard for me to shift my mind.
Yeah. I mean, 2021 is just a much better draft.
And I'm usually with that too, Jay. But are there any young guys besides Thybulle on the Sixers that you'd rather have than a first round pick? Zaire Smith is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take Zaire, definitely.
Over a pick?
Not over a pick, but.
Yeah. See, there's no one that's like that really gets you excited.
Even Matisse doesn't get me that excited.
Oh man, I freaking love Matisse.
I mean, if you think Lu Dort's a part of this team moving forward, then you don't play those two together. Neither of them can shoot.
30 points in a game seven, bro?
Yeah.
I know, I think
you watch your mouth.
27% in the playoffs. For Dort. I mean,
yeah, better than Lonzo Ball, man. Fault.
They were leaving him too open.
Yeah. Yep. Can I interest you in a Firkin Korkmaz?
Ooh, Firkin Korkmaz.
Sounds like you're offering like a fancy drink at a restaurant. Might I interest you in a Firkin Korkmaz?
Sir, have you tried the Firkin Korkmaz?
It's delicious this time of year.
Or no, man. I don't want the
pickup line.
I like Matisse. And part of that is probably more, even more of just a personality kind of thing. It's so funny that the Thunder didn't try to get him because he seems like such a Thunderman.
I mean, we don't know that they didn't.
True. So what could you do with the 20th and 25th pick? Could you pair them together to get the first pick?
Yeah.
Just saying. People are saying that people in the 20s are going to be potentially some NBA dudes that maybe just aren't as high of a ceiling. Like, come on. You don't want Anthony Edwards. You don't want Lonzo Ball, Minnesota. You want the 20th and 25th pick.
You don't want all the expectation that comes with the first pick.
Yeah, exactly. You can't handle that.
You can blow it. And it's too much pressure.
You want the best slice of the meat. You don't want the edge. You don't want the trimmings.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, but that's fine.
You've made zero sense all morning.
I'm having judgment issues the past 2 days. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe we should just take you out for a little
I'm
bit.
Judgment.
Yeah. Put you it's been a long time since you've been muted, Taylor. So.
Yeah, it takes a lot these days to get muted. And
listen, this is legit.
You're out.
Yeah, you're muted.
Really
yeah,
muted.
Just
yeah,
you're there muted. And frick your cork moss,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, babe.
Do you want to? I still don't even know though. I couldn't even look up the word that he used to start his introduction.
I couldn't begin to even think about it again. All right, let's move on to the L-Man's online deep dive.
Ooh, what's up, cats? It's time to dive deep with the L-Man. Okay, this comes from the NBA Reddit and Twitter.com. It appears that Myers Leonard is now partnered with Coors Light because he went viral shotgunning beers in the bubble. I did not know that he was sponsored by Coors Light. I didn't know. And he went viral shotgunning beers. This is all news to me.
Yeah.
He said this, after a wild few months in the bubble, it's time to unwind a bit by doing the complete opposite. He's going coast to coast on the road. The fam and I, Ellie, Coco, and at Coors Light, who is now a member of his family, are making a 10-day trip from Miami to LA in the Coors Light Chill Stream. Yes, it's a what is the Coors Light Chill Stream? It's a completely decked out Coors Light themed RV. It's always been a dream of Myers Leonard to complete a cross-country road trip, and no surprise, the chillest beer of all time was kind enough to make it happen. They're making all sorts of stops along the way, from family to landmarks, and he can't wait to take everyone on the journey too. Cheers, and no, he is not driving. So, because he was in the bubble, he now wants to just spread COVID everywhere.
Yeah.
In the Coors Light Chill Stream, drunk driving all around and spreading COVID.
Wow.
There's a lot of controversial things about this that they've had to spend a lot of time working around, right? Like, you're going to have a beer car, you're on a road trip. We need to make sure we say he's not driving.
Yes. I don't know about you're on a road trip in the beer site, in the beer light, no, Coors Light van, but you're not driving. But they didn't really think he's doing the complete opposite in the bubble, which means he's spreading it. I mean, they should have.
There's a lot of things.
Could have waited a little bit, I thought, on this one. However, as a man who has shotgun beers, I've never been sponsored. And so, hey, if you're interested, beer companies.
I was going to say, this is just all real jealousy.
It is. I'm available. I can shotgun.
Are you pretty good at shotgunning?
I've done it before. I could do it again.
Hey, Andrew, do you have any beers at your house?
I don't have a single beer at my house.
We could shotgun some sparkling waters.
You could.
Good.
I'm letting you know that my head would explode if I tried to shotgun a sparkling water.
Oh, my God.
The amount of fizz. Oh.
Oh, you know those air bubbles you get in your chest sometimes?
Yeah.
I get them more from sparkling water than anything. There's too much fizz in sparkling water.
Well.
Ooh, that's a hot take, man.
At the start, and this is why I think it's not as dense as beer. In beer, I think there's a little bit more material in the liquid, and it holds the bubbles a little better. But a sparkling water, you leave it out for 30 minutes, there's no sparkles left.
John's back to a bigger inventory. John's back to a bigger inventory.
I've had so little interest in talking about what you want to talk about this morning.
I don't know. I am having a really hard time knowing what to talk about.
It's been really bad. I mean, I'm just not going to lie. It's been really terrible.
Yesterday I came home from work and my wife literally pulled me aside and said, "Did you smoke weed or something?" And I was like, "No." So I don't know what's going on in my head. Something's up.
Something's happened to
you. I'm telling you, it's the full moon.
It must be full moon. Okay, guys. Welcome to Tayshaun the Fact Boy. Victory. So on Reddit, someone laid out a list of teams that have tanked in the past and kind of ranked them.
Yeah.
Who it worked for, who it didn't work for. It's actually an argument for not tanking, but he did a really bad job. But I thought it was interesting to just lay these out. So let me go through. These are the fruits that have blossomed from tanking. They say the Mavs did well when they got Dirk. The 76ers, which I think is still not, I mean, they got Embiid and Simmons, but we'll see about
that. They
did
it. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah, yeah. Golden State Warriors, OKC. And for OKC, they said, this really rubbed me the wrong way. He said, technically the Sonics tanked for them and the Thunder got to steal their fruit. And I was like, you just clearly don't understand the situation.
No, that's 100% true.
They didn't steal it. I mean, Sonics kind of tanked, and then it turned into the Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like Pressey was like, oh.
No, here's the best argument for that. Here's the way you deconstruct that. is Sam Presti was hired by the Oklahoma City ownership group. And so even though they were in Seattle, it technically was the Oklahoma City ownership that put Sam Presti in place, who led the tank, who got the players.
Okay. Good argument then.
Isn't that correct? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, they got, so they're really horrible. The Thunder had one bad year. They had the horrible year in Seattle before they left. And so, I mean, if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base has only seen one terrible year and they got to get three superstars out of it.
Valid.
So, I mean, when they came here, they already had Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, you know?
Yeah. And Jeff Green.
Yeah.
And Matt Harpering. So, teams that it worked for.
And Chris Wilcox.
And Chris Wilcox.
And Starbucks.
And Kyle Weaver. Did we draft Kyle Weaver in here? Teams it worked for, but they shouldn't. It kind of barely worked for them. So, like the Lakers. They kind of tanked, but not really.
They were just bad.
Yeah, they were just really bad.
See, here's the thing about tanking is that if you try to just put teams in there that have lost, like the Lakers didn't want to lose, they just sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what tanking is. Tanking is a strategy to get players. I would argue that very, very few franchises have actually tanked.
Well, would you say the Hawks tanked on purpose? Would you say the Grizzlies tanked?
The Grizzlies did not tank.
The Grizzlies did not. Okay. The Hawks did for maybe a year.
Yeah, the Hawks did tank.
Because they took on some freaky, some spooky contracts.
Yeah, they definitely have tanked.
And then just bad teams that tanked but didn't do a good job. So like the Knicks, which I don't know.
The Knicks haven't tanked. They haven't tanked. They have tried to sign free agents. They've tried to be good.
The Kings didn't tank.
The Kings have never tanked.
Minnesota Timberwolves, just bad.
They're just bad.
Chicago Bulls, just bad.
Yeah, all just bad. The Bulls wanted to be good.
Yeah.
They traded for, what's his name, shooter guy from Washington.
Yeah.
Forward. Name.
Zach LaVine.
No.
Who are you talking about? I wasn't listening to what you were saying. Okay, last thing. This is the most important part.
You're on fire today.
This is the most important part before I get into the question. Now, these are teams that didn't tank, that basically have never tanked, but they've stayed in the conversation for a decade. Raptors, Celtics, Pacers, Nuggets, Rockets, Jazz. So these are the teams that he's saying. Now he's saying you shouldn't
tank. Say them again.
Raptors, Celtics, Pacers. Pacers, whatever. Nuggets, Rockets, Jazz.
The Nuggets have gotten good because some of their late round picks were good, but they were terrible for years and years. They just picked the wrong guys at the top of the draft and picked the right guys at the back of the draft.
Did they ever get like that bad? Because they would have years where they'd pick up Iggy, you know? Like, and I never felt like they just fell off.
I mean, they had a high draft pick to get Jamal Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, they were bad that year before. So my question, what is something you guys have tanked at in life? Now, let me explain. You could have been bad on purpose or something that you had to do, but you were just, you know, skating by.
Otto Porter. That's the guy I'm talking about. Otto Porter.
That's weird that you forgot about him since he's going to be a Thunderman.
Oh, gosh.
Remember when
Chris Baltrey, come on, baby, to the Bulls. Give me all them picks.
It would have been future awesome.
Picks. If I don't want any current picks.
Talk about Jay. All right, someone answer this
question. I have the answer. This is something that I was trying to be bad at, but in fact, I still came out successful. Here's the thing. I'm really good at Mario Party. Okay? I'm a 20 plus year video game player.
Yeah.
I know how to do it. I know what it's asking me to do. I know how to win. And I'm good at all the little mini games.
A pro.
Okay? And so sometimes when you're playing with other friends and you want them to like this to be something you're doing like for all night or like an all weekend thing, you want them to have some success. You don't want to just blaze through them on every mini game. So you play a little, you're not giving it your all.
Yeah.
I'm really good at Mario Party. And so I try to do that. And I've tried to tank and lose Mario Party, but Mario Party is so random that I still win. I'm really good. I win a lot. And so it's like, I need to be there with people of my equal skill level. It's hard to do. Yeah. So Tank and Mario Party, almost impossible. Yeah. At the end, I get the secret.
You're too good. You're just too good.
I get those secret stars.
Yeah. This is too difficult. Jay, do you have an answer?
Anything I've been intentionally bad at?
Yeah. Or just,
I mean, so this is more probably self-disclosure than I probably should, but sometimes I'm intentionally bad at things around the house in order that I don't have to do them the second time.
So you tank chores.
I tank chores sometimes.
Like what? Like it was something specific.
Oh, it's probably not really real, but dusting or cleaning the mirrors, vacuuming.
Classic cleaning stuff.
I'm a spot vacuumer, you know.
And Jay's trying to vacuum the walls again. No, Jay, move aside.
I'm a spot vacuumer, and my wife makes me want to. My wife.
Hi, wants Ray.
Good job, guys. So she at least, here's the good thing is this is, I feel like this isn't a secret. This is something that she accuses me of as well, and so I don't feel too guilty about admitting this on the podcast, but it's not real. It's just, I just don't have as much of a deep desire to get things as spotless as my wife does.
I see later today, just your wife coming in like, I knew it.
Yeah, exactly.
And when she just all of a sudden listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
It would be this one though.
She would come in and be like, what's wrong with Taylor? I don't know now.
That's true. A lot of problems. This is true. All right, I don't really have an answer.
Hey, John's back to a bigger mystery.
Get this stuck in your head all day.
All right. Oh, let's take a quick break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.
Twitter questions! Let's ask some Twitter questions, y'all. Hey, you guys ask questions on Twitter, so we answer them. Okay. Our first Twitter question.
This is a train wreck.
Our first Twitter question comes from
That
took so long.
What? Our first Twitter question comes from @CL12_, who wants to know, how different has it been being affiliated with The Athletic? And how much fun are you having talking with all the experts associated with The Athletic?
It's very fun to talk to a lot of these guys. It's very different for sure. Because a lot of these people, I mean, you just know them on Twitter, but to like get to know them as people has been it's been really fun, really interesting. So,
ooh, who's been like a terrible person to get to know?
So far, not really anybody.
Just the guys on this pod, I think, are the problem.
Yeah. Mostly a guy named Taylor Dickerson today.
The more you get to know us. Yes.
Whoever it is wearing Taylor's their Halloween costume today.
Yeah, that's for real. Is there somebody else underneath that Taylor mask?
Oh, yeah, you can't see if it's really me.
That's right.
No. And you're about to have a Scooby-Doo move over there.
I know. I hope so.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @AndyRobinson05. who wants our thoughts on Tyrese Maxey. He watched Mike Schmidt's interview and workout with him. His shot looks vastly improved and not as flat. Seems like a high character guy too.
Andrew and I were talking about Tyrese Maxey before the podcast. And one of the things that's hard is, and it's going to be so complicated. And I think you talked to Vicini about this on the Daily Ding, is seeing the COVID draft kind of analysis stuff is just going to be hard because anybody one on none that is going to make it in the NBA should look incredible.
Yep.
So not being able to see guys other than the film that you have from last year, but not being able to see guys compete with 5-on-5 is just going to really skew a lot of the way we see some players. And so I know Andrew's high on Tyrese Maxey, but I would always, just as we look, because I know a lot of us, because we're in this, you know, basketball season where we're going to have 2 weeks of insanity before the draft, and then the season's pretty much here. You're going to be as much as you can clamoring for any sort of piece of who's draftable and who's there. Is anything that's one on none is just be cautious about making broad analysis because of. So I know that like I said, Andrew's high on Maxey, but it's one of those things where I wouldn't take much of that interview. Yeah, I think those interviews are important. And one of the things I read last night is that Lonzo Ball apparently is not Lonzo. LaMelo is apparently not doing incredibly well in those interview processes. And so those things are important just to get an idea of who this person is, some of his knowledge or expertise in the game. But shooting one on none, I mean, go and watch a pregame with NBA players and watch these guys not miss a shot for the entire time. You know, it's just, they should be able to do that.
Yeah. No, I like Tyrese Maxey. I think he's got good size. He's 6'3". He's got like 6'7" wingspan. He shot 83% from the free throw line, which is like a really key indicator for what kind of shooter you'll be at the next level. So I really like him. I think that he played in Kentucky, and so there's always that chance that these Kentucky guys end up being a lot more than what they showed their freshman year at Kentucky because there's just not enough space on the floor or enough shots to go around. And so to me, if I were to bet on a Kentucky guy, that would be the guy. I'm a big fan. I think that he's kind of a leader as well. And so I like him. I mean, if the Thunder could
have him landing more between 10 and 15.
Yeah, the thing with this draft is like nobody knows where anybody's going to go. I think
so. If somebody just got excited about him at 8, he could go 8.
Definitely. Definitely. But I would expect him to go in the late lottery or late teens. But I honestly have no idea because it's really team dependent. We don't really know. But
we're a little over 2 weeks out, almost 3 weeks out from the draft, man.
You also have to wonder if they'll move the draft up just because
sooner.
Yeah. Just because if they're really going to try to get.
Yeah. You want more December than a month 22nd. From the draft of the season.
Yeah. I mean, they could start training camp on December 1st if they are going to start on the 22nd.
That's so insane.
So, I mean, 13 days after the draft, they have to show it to training camp. I mean, I just, to me, move it up a week.
Yeah.
What is it really going to matter? What are you really going to learn?
What if there is a team that isn't ready at this point? Like, what have you been doing for the last 8 months?
Exactly. Everybody's ready.
You've known that the draft is coming.
Everybody's bored. Everybody's ready to, especially for the draft. Everybody wants to get the draft going, and then you can start free agency sooner. Because I mean, you can't do free agency. Can you do free agency in like 8 days? I mean, that's really what they'd be asking.
Sure. So it would be the greatest 8 days in offseason fandom there's ever been.
It would be totally wild.
Would it be wild or would there be less things happening?
I mean, like all those guys,
I think that's a possibility. Landing spots.
Yeah.
Because you could start trades. I mean, the minute they figure out the cap and the tax, they can open up the transaction window and then you can start doing trades before the draft.
Which, what are you hearing about the timeline for that?
Well, they're supposed to make a decision by today.
Okay. Because I know that Ham was on, you and Ham had a podcast about the CBA and possibility and all that. So I didn't know if there was a decision that's on the table or close to being made.
Yeah, right now, I mean, the players said they would not be rushed, which is just saying, hey, Shams, we're going to start negotiating through the media. will you help us and mm-hmm. put this out there? Mm-hmm. And he said, sure. So right now that's what they're doing, is they're negotiating through the media to try to get whatever they can get. And they really would like MLK Day. I would personally like that too, starting in like the 18th of January rather than the 22nd.
Yeah, but if the loss is $500 million.
I don't know for sure that the loss between Christmas and that day is $500 million.
Like 3 weeks.
Like, I don't know.
But, you know, they're going to be taking into account. The thing that's hard is they're taking into account when it ends more than anything.
Yeah.
So if the season ends, because, I mean, what we saw from this bubble season, we've talked about this, is they just can't compete with the NFL, especially not in the fall. And they want to avoid
games.
That as
Let's
much as they can.
Games
yeah.
Next year.
Especially if you're not going to be able to have the stadium revenue anyway. Like, why not just take that and shorten the season?
Yeah. My guess is that they will start by Christmas, though. I think that they've targeted that date. And you're right. There's going to be a lot of money lost if they don't do Christmas Day.
Yeah. If you're the NBA, you need Christmas Day. That's the one day that everyone is watching your sport and that everyone knows, okay, Christmas is yeah. basketball. That's all you, when you think Christmas, what else do you think about other than basketball?
Presents. Yeah.
I think about Christmas, Emmanuel Paul.
About presents. Hey guys, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Red Sox Rebert, who says, ignoring the obvious choices and star players, who is your starting five of Thunder players you just really like being on the team? His is Anthony Morrow, Abrines, Dion, Mitch McGarry, and Cantor.
Mitch McGarry.
I like that list, except for probably Mitch, I talked about this last week because I had high hopes for Mitch, but I'm not sure I liked having him on the team.
For me, I have to have Nate Robinson on this.
Oh, yeah.
So Nate Rob point guard.
He has to be on it. He was great.
Let's make an all down to dunk team
okay.
of role players. I mean, so Nate Rob at point.
Kyle Weaver at two.
Yeah, it has to be Kyle Weaver.
Just
I don't know. Abrines would be pretty high up there.
You can put Abrines at three. We can have,
Dion.
A college team out there.
We got to have Dion.
Oh, yeah. Dion's a four.
This is positionless basketball, guys. We can have as many guards as we want.
Okay. So Dion's on the team. Abrines, Kyle Weaver. And then who's our big? Who's been our favorite?
So here's my question. Do we throw Eric Maynor in there anyway?
Eric Maynor at the five. Maynor.
Yeah. Maynor at the five. So, do we all agree on Nate Robinson?
No.
Why?
I thought it was cool Nate Robinson's on the team.
I'm just here for like 2 months.
He's about to be in a boxing match.
So here's what's funny. If you go back to the plague season, like Sebastian Telfair, who else was on that team? Ish Smith. I liked Ish Smith.
Oh, come on. Those were hard times and you know
it. That's a year I don't want to remember.
Randy Foy. Corey Brewer.
He was awful. Ew. Randy Foy.
Ronnie Brewer.
Bad. We did also have both bad. Brewers.
What about Jeremy?
Caron Butler.
Jeremy Grant.
He counts.
Oh, yeah. I like Jeremy.
He's too like much of an actual player.
Yeah, no. He's too mainstream for us, man.
Yeah. He is?
Yeah. For our list, yeah.
Okay.
Who's the guy that you... is there anybody, and this is maybe... the better way to frame this, is there anybody that you had higher hopes for in the sense of like, man, they're almost there. I think Abrines is that without question, like the biggest tangible what if
yeah.
of kind of second, third tier guys.
Abrines, Steven Adams, people like that.
Byron. Because
I just think Lamb, and maybe I'm just looking at it through different, I never saw in Lamb what I think I saw in Alex Abrines.
Was it because of the faces that they have where Jeremy Lamb just looks like he's tired, like he's about to fall asleep on the court?
Yeah. Sometimes he's driving, he doesn't even know.
What did he say?
I
don't know. I just feel like
confused every time I'm driving. That's the quote. Every time he's driving, he literally gets confused.
Oh man.
I don't know. It's just, I think for Alex, I think probably so much of it for me is I always wanted that just like kind of Duncan Robinson-esque guy for the Thunder. And I always felt like Abrines was our best shot at having that. I guess Mara would have been too. Yeah, but
I thought Mara was really good.
He's just so bad at defense. He felt like Alex had the potential to at least stay on the floor.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Martin was that. We just forget that Kevin Martin never played on the Thunder.
No, we've never had shooters ever on this team, okay?
God, man, Kevin Martin, that season was so good.
It was very good. It was very good. Kevin Martin was awesome.
He was awesome.
He was 14 points per game. He was 42% from 3 on 5 attempts, which during that time was crazy to shoot almost 5 per game.
Also, he did kind of disappear in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, but that's after Russ got hurt. I mean, he was never supposed to be that guy. He had never played that role on that team.
Yeah. I'll never forgive him. Daquan Cook?
No.
Hasheem?
The chef? Oh, Hasheem's a 5.
Hasheem Thabeet is most definitely on that list.
Okay. Yep. Okay, so we have, I don't really know what to do with this now.
Well, just put your, well, what, you is your
what is your some sort of, what is your 5? NBA 2K or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you got down there, right there?
I have Eric Maynor and Dion Waiters and Hasheem Thabeet so far.
That's only 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would concur with Anthony Morrow.
Yeah, I like Anthony Morrow.
That'd be a nice player on that squad.
Squad. It's actually a good team. Would they make the playoffs in the East?
Who's your 5th player?
I don't know, man. This is too hard.
It's so hard. There's just so many cool players.
There's so many cool players.
Too many cool players.
Is Nick Collison too mainstream?
Yeah, man. You can't.
Yeah, he's too mainstream.
Huh. Grant Jarrett? C2 mainstream?
Oh, Grant Jarrett. That's someone who I thought maybe was going to be something.
You did?
Not really. I think that was the year. Let's see. Was that 2014 Summer League? And we were just, I don't know why. There was one year we were all watching every single summer team or Summer League game and talking about it all the time.
Well, he had a really good Summer League team that year.
Yeah, we did.
So mine is Eric Maynor, Dion Waiters, Anthony Morrow, Steve Novak.
And
Hasheem Thabeet. We can really shoot it, and we're protecting the rim. And we got Eric Maynor setting the table, and we got downhill Dion.
That's a good team right there.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no defense on that team except Thabeet.
That's all you need.
Protect Steve Novak.
Yeah. No.
Byron Mullins.
Byron, don't call me BJ Mullins.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, L-Man.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Danny Nanade, who says he's been listening to our old pods from last summer. It's really funny to hear us change position on Chris Paul. Did you guys think that would happen? Are you surprised you feel the way you do now?
I mean, I am.
This is really just for you, Taylor.
No, it's no. That is some revisionist history. No one was like super pumped about this trade. Literally no one. We were having podcasts in the summer. All of us were upset about it. Okay, so you can't put it on me. I was the strongest voice.
Yeah, we weren't all like you though.
You said listen, listeners, go back and listen and pull out quotes from Jay and Andrew, please, because I know they're gonna act like they never did.
No, I always loved him.
Yeah, they.
I'm pretty sure I was kind of excited about it.
No, go. But this is some.
We all knew that. We all knew what was coming. We all knew.
Hey, I did bold predict that they would make the playoffs. Just a heads up.
Jay, I think you're the only one who said they would make the playoffs.
No, I thought that they would get to game 7 against the Rockets.
Yeah. You knew Lou Dort was going to be a pivotal player.
I knew it.
I would miss though, to be about that, is you did actually say that getting Lou Dort in the late rounds or in the free agency was going to be a big deal for the Thunder.
Yeah, I did.
Like it was a good pickup.
I sure did.
I remember that.
Yeah. It was fun.
Not you, Taylor.
Oh. It was fun falling in love with Chris Paul.
It was.
Yeah. It was fun. I actually really liked it because the 180 that that we all took, and it was all of us to some extent. It was fun because he's a really, it's like a lot of Thunder people that we've had. You would hate, you hate him on other teams, but on your team, you love him.
And yeah, let's not act like we all thought he was so annoying before he was.
I hated him. Yeah. I didn't want him on the team. And then on media day,
yeah,
he shows up and he's just like delightful. Yeah. And I went up and talked to him and we shook hands, which seems like a weird thing to do now, to shake hands with people, but shook hands with him, talked to him. And he was like, oh, this is like a nice guy. This is really easy to talk to him.
Yeah.
Where like with Russell, like the whole day is like just spent like in just mental anguish, trying to figure out a pocket of time to try to talk to him. And then what do you say? It has to be perfect. If it's not perfect, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
With Chris, you could go up and be a bumbling idiot, and he'd be like, hey, let's talk. You know?
Let's talk. Yeah,
that's a great Chris Paul impression. Just spot on.
He would do it. He was great. He was awesome.
He
so,
it's over.
Yeah, that's when it, that's when I was like, maybe this guy's all right.
Maybe this guy. Maybe there's something else hey, going on with this guy.
Hey, this guy's ain't half bad.
That's what I thought.
Hey, let's hey guys, let's go on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at comeback kid who wants to know our favorite fall beer.
Oh man.
They just asked you.
Well, yeah, they just we asked all get me. A part of this, but I'll tell you mine. I've skipped fall completely. Because I was at my local liquor store and they already have winter lager. Boom! Bought it.
The Blue Moon Winter Lager?
No, the Sam Adams Winter Lager.
Oh.
And it is
wow.
delicious. And I drank
yeah, fall season's over as far as beers. So
well,
I went last
here's
night
the thing.
The Oktoberfests are gone.
They must have known that in Oklahoma, our fall lasted roughly 4 days.
Yeah.
And we are this straight to winter. We need our lager. Either that or it's my fault.
Although I will say this, I think it's supposed to be 70 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be. That's great, great tree cutting down weather.
That's exactly what it is.
That's
70 all week next week.
All our allergies are just going to be out of control.
Horrible.
Oh, no.
Guys, I'll be excited after I can drink my beer, my hot or cold house, because I don't got power. It's going to be great.
I don't know when you're going to get it back, man.
Maybe never.
Maybe never.
It's, here's the deal about so October or fall beers. As I realized this fall that I like a Märzen style Oktoberfest. And so if you know any of those are my favorites right now for the fall.
What are those? I don't know what that
Polliner,
is.
Polliner, P-A-U-L-A-N.
James Marsden makes them. Marsden style beers.
Märzen. Märzen.
He zaps them with his Cyclops visors.
No, it's Marsden. James Marsden.
Yeah. Sorry. James Marsden.
Yeah.
Guys, let's go on to our next. Oh, our next.
What is this podcast about?
Why did we not actually answer that question?
Favorite fall beer. I don't have a favorite fall beer.
He said winter lagers, man.
Winter lager.
But it's not a fall beer, Boom. But it's fine. His favorite beer is Bud Light, always. So
that's right.
He's looking for that sponsorship.
Guys, let's go to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Dan Mayan, who wants to know what's happening first? An OKC new head coach. An OKC trade or the draft?
I mean, I think they'll have a coach in place before any of those things happen. So, and then I would guess the draft and then I would guess trade. That's how I would predict the order. But who knows?
It could also happen simultaneously, the next two. The draft and a trade could happen at the same time.
In the coaching, they might be trading for a coach.
They could just be like, with the 25th pick in the draft, the Thunder hire guy, select this guy, and trade Chris Paul to
this guy.
They could have.
And that would be a wild night, man.
They could have.
We'd have to do an emergency.
Hey, Adam, we've got something.
What? Yeah.
A lot of news here.
We have a few announcements to go along with our draft pick.
Or no, they're all tied together. The draft pick is in the trade. Chris Paul is in the trade. And a coach is coming back to OKC in the trade.
Or maybe they just have their draft pick coach the team.
Oh, they're going to draft the coach.
They're going to draft a coach.
Huh.
Nope. But I think there'll be a coach hired soon. I'll say that.
Ooh, that's coming from some inside info.
As in, we're inside the house.
Not really, but info.
Freaking Scoops Schlecht over here.
Scoops.
Okay, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from, let me see which one I want to pick. Okay. Have we already asked that? We already asked it. I'm sorry. Two people have asked this, at Ross B and at Andrew Boo Boo 2. Our favorite stand-up comedian.
It's probably Chappelle for me.
Talking to your mic.
It's probably Chappelle for me.
He's very good.
Dave Chappelle is so good.
I saw him in Tulsa. I'm such an idiot. I saw him in Tulsa because he announced he was doing Tulsa. I was like, great, let's go. Well, like the day after he announced Rose State College.
Yeah.
Much
yeah.
closer.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm such an idiot, but I went to Tulsa, didn't go to Rose State College. So
yeah. Still good though.
I had an enjoyable time.
Yeah. He just did, you know, Letterman's show on Netflix.
Yeah.
He did one with Chappelle. It's really good.
I've never seen it. There's too much stuff.
The Letterman show?
Never watched it.
It's good. It's really good.
Seems good.
Yeah.
I watched a preview of it.
Do you have a favorite comedian?
I mean, I'm a big Chappelle guy too. I also like to listen to like Jerry Seinfeld's old stand up stuff.
Mm.
So
his new stuff is like,
the new stuff funny? It's not great. I'm like 90s.
Yeah.
Seinfeld.
I'm a Jim Gaffigan guy. I actually like Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
I like Brian Regan was fantastic. Did you ever watch the, what is her name? It's the, she's on
Whitney
Netflix.
Cummings.
Nanette, is that her name?
Liza Glazer.
I know who you're talking about. I've not seen it though.
She's fantastic. Goldsby? Anyway, I'll find
Hannah
that out.
Hannah something.
She's her first one. I haven't watched her second one, but her first one is absolutely incredible.
I'll say this, as a child, I love
Hannah Gatsby.
Gallagher. Not exaggerating.
You're really into Smashing Fruit.
I mean, when he brought out that hammer and or the sledgehammer and he hit that watermelon. Do you know that his brother toured as Gallagher 2?
No.
Yeah, they fought, they like sued each other over the name. They fought a whole lot about it.
Wow.
Because they didn't say
anything.
Can I
ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
This is important. Have any of you all made the mistake of watching Hubie Halloween?
No.
I haven't. I've heard it's enjoyable if you turn off your brain.
It's this is, I use a lot of hyperbole, but this is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
You know, it's that the worst movie I've ever Adam seen. Sandler, when he didn't get nominated for Uncut Gems, and he said if he didn't get nominated, he would make the worst movie of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think this is the one he made.
Halloween.
Man, it is so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a 2-week long shoot.
Well, I mean,
may have been.
Yeah. Jay, what is it? What about it that is so bad?
Everything. It's the most cringy of his movies. Like, I've watched, here's the deal. Like, I'm not a snob in the sense of like, I've watched Grown Ups and I'm like, yeah, they're fine. And I've watched some of the ones he's made for Netflix more directly. This one is just bad. Like, it's not funny. It's the cringiest movie I've ever seen, in the sense that I just like put my head in my shirt multiple times while watching it because it's so bad. Like, I was angry when I finished it.
Did you watch it alone?
No, we try to do a movie night, which is always like the most stressful event in our relationship between my wife and I, because it's always like, how do you make something that both of us want to watch, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, Hubie Halloween. And both of us were like, what
did we
just watch?
Oh, this was date night.
So your son was not there. This is basically a children's Halloween movie.
Don't watch this with kids.
Oh, really?
No, don't watch it with kids.
Really?
Huh. You know Adam Sandler, man. He just is incapable of not making some sort of like incredibly crude, many incredibly crude jokes.
That's what's so funny.
No, it's not funny. I'm not kidding. It's the worst movie I've ever seen.
And you made it the whole way through. Halfway through, you guys weren't like, okay, we're turning this off.
No, because once you're in, it's kind of like if you're on a road trip, like it takes a lot of energy to turn around and go home.
Yeah.
It's like one button press. It's like literally.
It's actually not like that at all, Jay.
Yeah, it's very, very, very easy.
Yeah, no.
Jay's a loyal
guy. I'll
tell
you what I'm watching. That's a great British baking show. Fantastic. Way better than Hubie Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Way better show. God. Adam Sandler should make a baking show. No, he shouldn't. Stay away from baking
shows. Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah.
Sorry.
Stay in your lane, Adam.
So Gallagher's your answer, Luke, huh?
I did like him. Okay. Legitimately, I did like him. And then, like, if you watch any old like Robin Williams, there it's like nothing else that you've ever seen yeah. ever, yeah. And it's I think that was very good, but I don't know. I'm not like currently I don't watch a lot of stand up comedy.
I know you like Mulaney, like the Mulaney specials.
Oh yeah, they're very good. I like those a lot.
Those are really good.
He reminds me a lot of Alex Spears.
Yeah, me too. Same. Me too.
I do like John Mulaney. I think he's very, very, very funny. But if I watch a good one, I'll like it, but then I instantly forget it. Yeah. So, like Chappelle's were good. I couldn't tell you a single joke from him, except the ones that people get mad about on Twitter. All right, let's move on to our final Twitter question. I don't know which one it's going to be. Let me see. If you could be traded to a podcast, what podcast you'd be traded to? They think I should be a great fit on Dunked On so that the people on Dunked On can sound a little bit more human when I'm there. And they have beers. They want to trade me for their couch.
Do you want them to have beers, though?
No, I don't want them to have beers. I haven't listened to them in so long, so I don't know.
I have never listened to them, which feels like a badge of honor.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
I believe that Luke has not.
I have not listened.
I believe that you have never willingly chose to listen to them.
Yes.
Mine would probably be non-sports related, and I couldn't tell you which one, but like mine, it would probably be not sports related.
The Bible Project?
Dude, the hard part about those is I would just sit in the back just like listening. I've mentioned you would
pipe in.
I think yeah,
I would. I'm incapable of not talking.
I was going to say, know you. Come on, man.
But here's the deal: is you just as far as intimidation, like when you're in a room with guys that are so much beyond you as far as intellect. Anyway, but I've shared this all the time. Like my favorite radio show podcast is the Levitard Show. Like I think they're the best at it in the game, and yeah. So for me is like I would love to just be a part of the storage container on that show. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Mine would be it's not a sports podcast. It's a sports entertainment podcast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's Cheap Heat. It's a wrestling podcast. And I really like it.
You'd probably be good on those.
Yeah.
Luke, I will say this. If you really worked at it, I think you would do well on some of those ringer, like pop culture ones that they just are really good at. What's the one they're doing where they analyze a movie every week or so?
They do the rewatchables. Is that what you're talking about? Oh, no, or the Connect.
Neither one of those things. The rewatchables. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right.
Well, I've never listened to either of those, but I think I would, but I don't know. It's hard to.
Yeah, but then every other episode, Bill Simmons will just be like, oh, I love this movie. I'm going to take this one over. And then you're like, okay, well, I guess I'm just here now. On the rewatchables.
I would trade myself to Zach Lowe's podcast to show him how to use a microphone.
God, please.
Oh, man.
And Woj. I was listening to Woj's yesterday, too, with Tim McMahon. And I'm like, Tim McMahon clearly has a Bluetooth microphone. Woj yelling from his bathroom into a computer.
I don't understand because it has ESPN's podcast. I mean, it doesn't upset me that ESPN's podcasts sound like crap. But
I know, but it's like you two are the literally biggest two names in media, NBA media.
I find it very funny.
Have no idea how to use a microphone.
I find it to be very
funny. Don't they have producers?
They have to have producers. Yes.
Like, how is
that? You think that Zach Lowe, there's no way Zach Lowe is like producing that at his apartment.
Yeah, like something.
That's what it feels like.
What is going on? Maybe he like has a really old laptop.
I don't know, but I find it kind of comical, to be honest.
Yeah. I'd like to be traded to Radiolab. They have like, somehow they have like 15 full-time staffers that work on that show. They put one show out a week They're all working on stories that take, you know, 6 months at a time. I just think it'd be fun to.
Yeah, I do love some of those NPR ones. Like, yeah. I mean, Serial's not really around much anymore, but stuff like that where you're investigating and doing doing a lot of work like that. Presidential podcast through Washington Post was fantastic. Lillian Cunningham, I think is her name. Anyway.
God, I'd die if I was on a political podcast. I would actually die if it was part of my job.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
If I had to do politics as my job, talk about it.
No, dude. So the presidential podcast was, it was leading up to the election in 2016. They did, they took the entire, all of the presidents and they did a podcast a week of all of the presidents. It's incredible.
That's more like history.
So it's like George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson. Like it just goes through all of it. It's really, really good. She did a phenomenal job.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Hey, so people were clamoring for Miffed and Peeved to come back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think all of you guys missed this, but I put a poll up and people want Miffed and Peeved.
People want Miffed and Peeved. I'll give you some Miffed and Peeved. I'm Miffed and Peeved. We don't have a drop of that.
Miffed
and Peeved.
Hey, I'm freaking Miffed. I'm freaking Peeved. I don't have power at my house.
Yeah.
And they said it would take... Like, you know, OG&E tells you now how long it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
1 to 2 weeks. No power.
You
don't
even live at your house, man.
Well, I can't now.
Yeah. That's a good argument. What is your roommate doing?
Oh, we're figuring.
Taking pictures of him on Instagram.
He's taking pictures of me on Instagram. He's at his parents' house. I'm also at my parents' house right now.
Nice.
And then I have a ton of downage with limbs, a lot of limbs.
Yeah,
a lot of limb downage.
And
it's going to be a weather focused Miffed and Peeved.
It has to be, right?
Yeah.
It stinks, man. Stinks.
I had a limb fall on my truck. So that's cool.
Oh. You had a what?
A limb fall on my truck.
A limb fall. I thought you said a limbful on your trunk. I was like, what's
did the
that?
Cover of your pool? Did your pool cover survive?
My pool cover survived, which was, oh man, that was very stressful. We had to go to like a parent teacher conference and we were coming back and my oldest son calls us on FaceTime and he's like, Dad, you have to see this. And look at it. And there is just the biggest limb just on our pool cover. And I'm just like, oh no, we've got to get back. It fell maybe like 2 hours after the storm started.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it's like...
You know those early fallers were like, oh, you were just hanging on by a thread.
They're ready to go.
Obviously.
It's just like, because it wasn't, you know, in the scheme of being cold, it wasn't that cold. And it was just like, you know, some ice just wrecked everything.
Yeah.
It was pretty cold and really icy. It rained ice for about 30 straight hours.
It was miserable.
And it's just because it all the trees still had their leaves. So there's too much surface area for ice. And that's
we've got these two Japanese maples in our backyard and they're like my favorite tree. They're beautiful. Anyway, but one of them was like starting to tilt uproot. And so I'm like out there like shaking all the ice off and putting like posts in to try to push it to keep it up. Man, I saved it though. All of my trees will survive, which is crazy. Like, I've got Bradford pears that are basically like brittle bone, you know? But they survived, which I wish they wouldn't have, but I'm glad they didn't ram into my house.
Bragger.
I think mine will all live as well.
Mine, I think, will, but man, I have like a ton of stuff on my roof.
Oh no.
Not good. A lot of stuff is like, has fallen from my tree and it's just like has pierced into the ground. So it's just sticking straight up. And I was walking on it and it still had the ice because it's been so like, you know, insulated from the sun and the heat that like it's still icy. So it sucks.
It does suck.
And I'm redoing my kitchen. So I don't have a working kitchen. So my house is a wreck. My front yard.
I think one of the reasons we've skipped Miffed and Peeved is because everything is too personal right now. Like I keep thinking about like mask wearing and I don't really want to bring that up on the podcast, but I'm like, why is that so hard? That's what I don't get. Like just follow the rules. People that don't follow the rules. So that's why I don't do the Miffed and Peeved because it just gets real intense.
Just wait for who knows what our Miffed and Peeved is going to be next week.
I know. Happy Halloween, everybody. Happy spooky full moony.
Oh, spooky full moony.
beautiful movie.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help find you a winning formula for success. You'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to The Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts.